The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Key Marine Center.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
It's a good day for a boat ride.
On the boat again. I just can't wait to get on the boat again.
I'm on a boat. I'm on a boat. Everybody look at me because I'm sailing on a boat. I'm on a boat. I'm on a boat. Take a good hard look.
We're all in the same boat.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. It's Friday, and this is Pep Talk. And you know what? A little bit after 10, you know what that means when you hear that boatin' music? It's Boat Smart, and we are here with our host, Stefan Schmidt, with Key Marine Center. Well, actually, it was Georgetown Technical College, and his guest, Bill Kidwell, who's also our sponsor with Key Marine Center in Northwest Florida. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to see you. I missed y'all last week.
Yeah, you were not here.
Now, I know. I had that thing that's going around, whatever that is.
Well, I hope you got rid of it, and I hope you didn't give it to me.
No, sir. I'm trying not to
get it. I don't like taking those things.
No. I'm selective with my gifts.
Yeah, we are glad you're back,
so. I'm glad to be back.
Thank you for that. And you are listening to Boat Smart. It is a call-in show. 850-437-1620 is the phone number. We can take your call or text. Maybe you have a question about your boat. Maybe you have a question for Bill about anything that is marine-related as far as boats are concerned. Mm-hmm. Or a question about Key Marine or anything like that. Or maybe you just have a comment about Georgetown Technical College or a question about my class out there or any other class. I might be able to help you with that as well. So 850-437-1620 is the number. We are sponsored by Key Marine Center. I don't know what happened there. Key Marine
Welcome
Center.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah, sometimes it just happens, don't it?
In your brain it says Key Marine, and your mouth says Kellogg's.
Something else. Yeah, who knows?
You never know.
So let me try again. Sponsored by Key Marine Center in Northwest Florida. Key Marine located at 5621 Bower Road here in Pensacola. 850-492-0487. I did that all out of my head that time.
See, you did good. And see, one morning I came and I said, welcome to the Pepsi-Cola show.
Yeah, you can do that too, you know.
So. Pepsi-Cola talk.
We are glad you're here, though, listening to the show today. So,
Sure.
So, Key Marine is your Yamaha, Mercury, Suzuki, Cox Diesel Outboard, MerCruiser, Repower Center. So, they do all that for you. They can service and repair any of those products. They can also put a brand new engine on your boat or in your boat, and they can do that as well, right? So, hey, Bill, you're here today. So,
hey, Bill.
He loves doing giveaways. So, he's going to do a giveaway here in a little bit. He's not going to just do it right this second because this is going to take a little bit of thought process.
Your last question, as I recall, was pretty tough.
Yeah, this they one. Won't be able to ask Gemini and get the question.
You just gave our listeners a way to do this.
Mm-hmm. So. But he's saying you can't do it. It's not it works. So.
Do you like AI stuff, Bill?
It's catching on for sure.
It's catching on.
Mm-hmm. I can say I like the useful parts of it whenever you can, you know, quickly, instead of going to Google and asking them, you know, just a random question, and they don't try to sell you stuff, Gemini. They just give you facts. Or they tell you, we can't comment on that. But, yeah, I do use it.
Okay, I was wondering about that because I use it for writing emails a lot.
I haven't got that far.
It makes me seem so much smarter.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir.
You know, so I'll put my emails in there and say, hey, make this one better, make this one funny or whatever, you know, and I do kind of use it, you know. I don't tell my students about AI.
Oh, you're keeping secrets.
You know, actually, let me tell you this. I'll tell you this story. This was about a week ago. You know, I always tell good things about my students, right?
Right.
Let me tell you a bad thing about my students. How about that?
Are you sure?
Because everybody thinks that, you know, everything is, you know, comes up smelling roses in the Marine Service Technology class, but there's a lot of stuff that goes on, right?
Well, isn't that true for every classroom?
And it is. I don't want my listeners to think that every day when I go to work and school and all my students are awesome and they're everything just perfect and we're just around there smiling and having a great time. It's kind of like going to work, right?
Or somebody
comes in and has an attitude, it changes the whole day, right?
Right, it can.
What you just described is what most people put on Facebook.
Yeah, exactly.
With no problems, no worries, everything's great.
Exactly, yeah. So we were doing a test. It was a test that they had to do on the computer. And I was walking through the back of the class doing my teacher thing, you know, wandering around the class, looking at the computer screen,
checking them all out,
seeing what's going on. And I happened to see see a second screen up on the computer, and the student was actually cheating using AI as the answers and stuff. So I let him do it. You know, I walked over there and kind of like tapped on his computer screen, and I was kind of like gave a signal, not acceptable, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then I went ahead and went through the test and everything, and after I called him to the side, and I said, "You might as well just tell me, you know, what's going on here, right? Because I seen it." Of course, tried to lie a little bit.
Well, sure.
Which I don't accept that either, right? I said, you know, just tell me the truth. I want to trust you, and I want you to, you know, I want to be able to talk to you, right? So you need to tell me the truth. And yeah, I was cheating. I said, okay, here's the deal. And you probably won't hear a teacher say this. I said, I don't care if you cheat. Cheat all you want. You can cheat on everything you want to all the way through this whole entire course. Because one thing for sure, it's not going to hurt me, but it's definitely going to hurt you.
That's very profound. Right? Absolutely.
And that's what I told him. I said, and I tell my class, you want to cheat? Cheat. You're only cheating yourself.
That's right. Right. And that's the truth.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that is the truth. So using AI is good. It's also can be bad, right?
Right.
In that instance, that'd be bad. I don't, you know, I could probably, there's a lot of stuff I could do to lock this stuff down to where they can't use it, but so much work for us teachers to do that.
But don't we want to teach them integrity as well?
Yeah, I do. I want to be able to trust the students. I want to be able to say, okay, when you do this, you're not cheating or anything like that, you know?
And maybe the next question is what for them is to find out, well, what's the problem? Do you just not have enough time to study? Is there something you're not understanding? And maybe get to the root of it, possibly?
You know, I think they're used to cheating.
Oh, yeah, you're probably right.
Honestly, and I, you know, my listeners, maybe their heads are exploding right now. I don't know. I mean, you know, but a lot of times students come out of school that's been rushed through, and they really, some of them didn't get good grades and all this stuff, and now I end up with them in my classroom.
Or maybe they didn't learn the fundamentals, so now they're always behind.
Yeah, exactly. So who knows, you know, but, it, you know, AI is good, and I do use it. I use it for writing curriculum, too, because I want to make it fun and happy, and I'll do that, too. So, yeah, I do use it. All right, y'all, I use it. That don't
you
mean
heard his confession right here on
that
Boat
don't
Smart.
Mean it's always correct. I do have to proof it, you know, before I put it out there.
That's the thing to remember. A friend of mine told me, be careful with AI only because it's pulling from all resources,
right?
And it might pull from a bad, like a resource that's not factual.
Yeah.
So you're just going to have to cross. There's no nobody like fact checking.
So it's information, but it may not be good information.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Yeah. So
you kind of want to check
watch
it.
That
yeah,
out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe you have a comment on that. 850-437-1620.
Oh, be careful, though. They might be AI-ing their comments
AI
now,
related
right?
comments, yeah. That's
how
okay.
do I comment a pep talk?
Well, you know there's stuff out there you can put in there and say, was this AI? Is that an AI person?
Ooh,
or is that, you know, so you can do
there?
That, too. There's so much stuff out there. I don't know. It's almost scary to me sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm
old school. There were no cell phones when I was in school. The only way you could cheat was if you wrote it on your hand.
Yeah, I know. Or pass a note or something
exactly.
like that, you know. So, yeah.
So, all right, back to Boat Smart.
Yeah, back to Boat. It's Marine Service Technology related because it is stuff that's happening in the classroom, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I want people to know that. You know, yesterday I did something fun. I did a podcast yesterday.
Oh, okay.
I went to Voices United in Education. Have you ever heard of that one?
I have not.
It's a podcast that the school district does.
Uh-huh.
And I actually went and did a podcast yesterday where I had an opportunity to be interviewed. They were interviewing me.
Cool.
And it was pretty cool. I'm going to let everybody know when it comes out and it's up
sure.
put online. So it's VoicesUnitedInEducation.com is the website. It's hosted by a local podcaster, Meredith Hackworth Edwards. And she did a great job. She's definitely the professional, you know.
Right.
And, of course, she thought I was professional, but you know, I don't consider myself a professional at this. I'm mediocre at best, but you know, it was fun, and I really enjoyed that I got to talk about my class like I do on the air.
Right.
But it was more of her asking me questions and we're talking about certain things, and I really enjoyed that. And like I always enjoy talking about what we do at Georgetown.
Well, I know that you're passionate about it, and that makes all
passionate.
The difference.
Sometimes too passionate, but
no,
yes,
I
am passionate about
no,
it.
No,
yes,
no.
I am. Yes, I am. So, Bill, you wanted to talk about some specific stuff today, I think. We were talking about maintenance and stuff like that. I'm going to let you have the mic and talk about what happens when you don't maintain your boat.
Right. There are some people out there that try to read between the lines and reduce their upfront, or maybe not upfront, but their expenses when it comes to taking care of a boat and
right.
a boat motor. And there is a specific periodic maintenance chart that's in everyone's owner's manual when they get a new motor. And a lot of people they're stuck on this 100-hour thing, not once a year or 100 hours, which is the normal you know, for like changing oil and oil in the motor and the lower unit oil and all that. And but there is a you know, the time factor of a year is important as well, because I mean a lot of things can happen over the course of a year that you're wanting to catch. Maybe your oil's not completely wore down, but I will tell you this: anytime what breaks the oil down a lot of times is just the process of the internal combustion thing, and whenever, you know, some of the gases pass down into the and get mixed with the oil, they can have a chemical reaction with the additives that are in oil that make them, you know, better for the marine environment. So even though, and then the longer they sit, you know, even if the motor's not using, being used, they can definitely, you know, cause problems as far as wear like that. And yeah, you definitely want to make sure that, I'll give you an example. I had one customer that overthought the whole water pump thing. Yes, 90% of the time when we do a water pump, we're not seeing that it's worn out completely. But I believe Steph and I had talked about this a couple shows ago about, you know, being able to get the gear case off or the lower unit off and then reinstalled and not it turning into corroded broken bolts and all this and being more labor. And this customer had went 10 years without doing a water pump.
Wow.
And so when it came time, he absolutely, I guess his impeller, it failed, and he had to have it done. And so we went to take the lower unit off, and it wouldn't come off. And it wouldn't come off, So we ended up, it cost him that motor. He ended up having to buy a new motor because it would have been more expensive to replace the center section and the drive shaft that we had to cut off to get it off there.
Wow.
And so, you know, I mean, it does pay not only, you know, to keep things going, but when you take it to a place like Key Marine that has those factory trained professional technicians, and when I mean factory trained, they go to the schools every year that are, you know, either Yamaha Mercury or Yamaha or even Cox diesel outboards to learn these things, and they know a lot of stuff that regular people that can change their own oil and stuff may not know about.
Well, and you've mentioned before that the technology is just changing so rapidly, not every decade, but year to year, and sometimes quarter to quarter, month to month, right? So those guys going back every year and learning the latest information is really critical, isn't it?
Yes, that's part of it. But the main thing is just them being, you know, slick and knowing what they're looking at. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so, you know, simple little things can cost you, you know, big time later on versus taking care of it now. So it's not really a good idea to skimp on the maintenance thing. You know, at the end of the day, the last thing we're trying to do is sell you something and make that. We're genuinely concerned about your motors lasting as long as they possibly can. And Stefan knows as well as anyone that it really matters, you know, to maintain them every year.
Mm-hmm. Well, as we're coming up, so here the season lasts forever, but technically the end of summer now and into fall, this is probably a good time to have your boat looked at, correct? And are you seeing any specific questions now coming in to Key Marine when we're in this season?
It's definitely better from a standpoint of it's usually a little bit less busy.
Mm-hmm.
We are still fairly busy at our shop, and we stay that way year-round because of the reputation and the quality work that we put out. But yeah, it's better. It's better to have it done in the fall.
Okay. So if you have a question for Bill or for Stefan, 850-437-1620, you've been thinking in the back of your mind, maybe I should get that widget, gadget, something, whatever, fixed or checked or looked. I can't be specific because I don't know enough about boats. But ask the question. Text it in.
You should take notes while I'm talking.
I do.
I tell my students all the time, take notes. So
I do.
Start taking notes.
I have my notes.
Trying to help her out here. So you talked about corrosion, and that happens to fall in with maybe a trivia question that you might have.
Yeah.
So let's do that.
Yeah. Uh-oh. I think we've got a good one here. Okay. I guess we were wondering if anybody knew, and we do have a hat and I think a bag that you can come to our shop there, 5621 Bauer Road, and you could call ahead at 850-492-0487. But the question is, when it comes to which has more resistance to electron flow, all water, different types of water have different resistances. So which has more resistance to electron flow, which freshwater or saltwater? when it pertains to like galvanic corrosion in the marine environment.
Okay.
Then you want to repeat that question?
Yeah, I was
taking notes. Look, I was taking notes and you lost me at galvanic.
Yeah. Basically, the question is
he's going to explain that.
Yeah. Has more resistance, fresh water or salt water to electron flow?
As far as currents flowing through the water.
So
we're talking about electricity in a way. Okay. Mm-hmm. So electricity. So explain galvanic corrosion.
Okay, so galvanic corrosion, the physics of it is that whenever humans mine metals and make useful things out of them, every alloy of metal that we've come up with over the years has a place on this metal chart, being a nobility chart. Some are more noble. With nobility means the resistance to return to their normal ore, resistance to corrosion, which is a metal returning to its normal ore, which they all will if given enough time and the right conditions. And then, so anytime you, these two metals, anytime you have them bolted together or connected by a metallic path, and then you add an electrolyte, which is a water, there's going to be this naturally occurring current that starts cranking. Okay, and there's really nothing we can do to stop it. We can trick it in several ways, which we can go into deeper if we need to, but that's the whole thing about it, is that.
Okay, well, we've already got some texts rolling in.
All right.
So our first text says salt water. Is that correct?
The salt water is yeah.
More conductive?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the winner.
That's
then.
The answer.
All right.
Yes. Yeah.
The winner is Johnny. So thank you, Johnny. So Johnny will need to stop by your shop to get his prize. So give him the address again and what to do.
Okay.
And I'll give you his information after the show.
Awesome. So, yeah, it's 5621 Bower Road in Pensacola.
Yep. When you think about corrosion in the marine industry, you know, we almost have to somewhat be scientists, because you have to do something to correct the corrosion issues on motors, and we use anodes or zinc anodes or aluminum anodes to take care of that. Okay, so when Bill's talking about lesser metals, we're talking about like a stainless steel bolt attached to an aluminum housing and how they react together. So as these units are attached to each other, whatever is not touching that component or is not bonded back to the battery, and everything has to be bonded back to a battery, and what happens is the corrosion attacks that lesser metal. So where it is aluminum versus stainless steel, you know, you could have this corrosion start building up between those two. And what happens, like Bill said, on that lower unit, it wouldn't come off because this is just like welding things together. Right, Bill?
Yeah, it's similar to welding, especially that white aluminum powder that develops. It can compress to who knows. I wish we could measure that sometimes, but it can really grab stuff and make it almost impossible to.
Okay, I've got another question for you gentlemen. This one says, do I need to winterize my outboard?
Yeah, winterization in our neck of the woods has a lot more to do with the fuel system and all. I mean, because most outboards, whenever you have them trimmed down, the water will drain out. But, you know, the fuel deteriorating is the number one thing to deal with there by adding the right kind of stabilizers and all.
Yeah, so it depends on if you're going to store it for a long period of time. Maybe you're just going to keep it not running for a month or two. It's not that important. But the fuel, like we always talk about on the show, is one of the most important parts. But I always recommend continually treating your fuel, whether you're running your boat or not. Then if you decide you're going to go ahead and let it sit for a little while, then you're going to do like a more harsher treatment on it, where it's going to allow the fuel to stay good for a period of time, okay? And then, again, if you're going to let it sit for long, long periods of time, there's different methods and things that you would do to protect the motor, not only from freeze, but from also from the fuel hurting the system. And changing your oil is a big part of winterization, changing your gear lube, because you don't want to let that sit in the crankcase for long periods of time. So the best thing to do is take it to Key Marine if you're going to let your boat sit for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yep.
Right. And then the difference between up north and down south, it has to do, a lot of people here fog the cylinders for corrosion and all. And that has a lot more to do, like he said, the period of time, because the boating season is definitely a lot shorter up there than it is down here. So for the most part, it's fuel down here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I had a student that went back to Nebraska, and part of his what he wanted to learn here was how to winterize to that effect.
Oh, okay.
Because it's different than it is here. So I actually ran him through some training on winterizing outboards and inboards and stern drives in a Nebraska type atmosphere where they only have maybe 3 months of boating,
right?
Where we typically have 11 months of boating or so.
Kind of the reverse of that.
Right, so it's reverse. So it is a different type of winterization when you go up north in those areas where you're letting your boat sit for a long period of time. And a lot of times they take the boats and shrink wrap them. And it protects them from the outside elements as well. Yeah.
That's kind of makes sense.
Yeah. So you wrap the boat in a shrink wrap and they do that. And then at when the season comes, they take that shrink wrap off. We don't typically do that here.
Okay. We've got another question for you, gentlemen. Can I use seafoam in my gas to help my motor?
I can tell you right now, I am not a friend of seafoam in the marine environment.
You should have seen his face now.
Yeah, mine too.
Right. You know, I think, Stefan, I've noticed, I honestly believe that there is the reason why it somewhat works in the automotive industry and not in the marine is because our fuel tanks a lot of times are made of aluminum. Mm-hmm. I have seen that chemical reaction happen to where it can do some, do not use seafoam in your boat.
Yeah, I think people think that it's a miracle cure of everything. Okay, so I've had people, my fuel system, my fuel injectors aren't working well, and it is not a miracle cure. Okay, of course they advertise it like that.
Right.
You know, I have seafoam in my shop area, but we use it to clean corroded parts up. So it actually does can do a lot of damage to metals and things like that as well.
Mm-hmm.
I recommend StarTron. That's what I use in my boat. And I've always used it for probably as long as I can remember. And I've never had a fuel-related issue with any of my boats.
Huh.
You know, so I'd like to think I'm the expert on fuel systems because I continually do the right thing and I don't deviate from that. You know, every time I fuel my boat, I see how much fuel I need to add. I add the StarTron to it and then I put my fuel in. And I always make sure my fuel tank is full and all those things to make sure that I don't have any water intrusion or the fuel's not going bad. And, also, of course, non-ethanol fuel, 100% all the time.
So we need the two of you to write a book, a help book, so that people can have it on their boat, a little handy book to say, here's what you need to do.
Yeah, you know, it's really simple to take care of your boat. And the simple things are take care of your fuel. Keep your boat clean. Wash it every single time you use it. Flush the engine with fresh water, and take it to Key Marine. Let them do your maintenance. That is it.
Yeah.
You know?
And it'll last longer, right?
Yeah, that'll definitely help for sure.
Mm-hmm. So what are the most common mistakes you see, Bill, in maintenance?
The main thing is if someone else is having, someone else do it. It's just people, because the expense of it, I just don't know if they don't have it budgeted in or if they're overthinking it. And going back to what I had said about the 100-hour things, well, I have, because a lot of people cannot put, except for Stefan, put 100 hours on their boat in a year. It's really difficult.
He does it in a weekend, I think, but okay.
But yeah, it's just that, overthinking it instead of just, hey, it says it in the owner's manual. This is the way you should do it if you expect those motors to last 20 years plus, that's the biggest mistake is people overthinking that. And I hear it all the time. Well, I haven't put 100 hours on it yet. Well, it's been 3 years. And maybe if we haven't checked your gear oil, you had some fishing line behind your prop. Now it's eating one of your seals out. Your gear case has water in it. We could have caught that last year if you'd have been doing it every year.
Right.
There's a lot of factors to that. And like having a boat payment, you also need to factor in maintenance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How much are you going to be able to afford, per month, right?
Sure, budget for that.
Yeah, so you have to budget for that. And you need to do the maintenance, period.
Absolutely.
Yep. Right.
Okay, we are about out of time, gentlemen. So maybe give your contact info and how people can get in touch with you, both for George Stone and for Key Marine.
Okay, well, with Key Marine first, we're on 5621 Bower Road. That number is 850-492-0487. We're there Monday through Friday this time of year, 8 to 5, and we can handle anything you got.
Yep, georgestonecollege.edu. Check out their chat feature, and you can get a hold of anybody out at George Stone. And Boat Smart, Tricks of the Trade, check out our YouTube channel where you can watch our silly-looking faces online.
And we rebroadcast this and put it as a podcast on our webpage. That's newsradio923.com. Click on podcast, click on Pep Talk, click on Boat Smart.
Yep. See y'all next week.
All right. Thanks guys. Y'all. Great to see you again. Bye. Thanks to all of our listeners that texted in this morning for Boat Smart. And we'll be back again next week. This is Pep Talk on News Radio 923, informative, local, dependable. We'll be back after the news.